Everybody, Pastor Buddy in with you tonight. Glad to have you with us. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call on WWCR 5070 around the world on the Jewel of the South tonight, right out of Nashville, Tennessee. Call a friend and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on tonight with part three. We're going into the two witnesses, and hopefully we can conclude it tonight. It's going to be a lot to pack into 60 minutes or thereabouts. So we hope and trust that we can cover. If not, we'll try to do part four. This is a very interesting and a very important subject, and a lot of Bible confusion. People have studied the Bible and prophecies and things of this nature over the years have taken a lot of things into context with their thinking out of context. So you got to rightly divide the scriptures. Now, the conflicting time periods in the book of Daniel is what we're going to address tonight. We're going to look at first chapter 8, then chapter 12, and then back to chapter 9. And we're going to look at the main key to understanding the 2300 days is spoken of in Daniel 8. Now, if you begin, you need to look at the question and how that this question could be answered. The 2300 days is the answer, as I said, to 8:13 of the book of Daniel. Now, in that it says, how long shall the vision be concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Now, we know that there's a 2300-day time period allotted in Daniel going into a specific time. We all want to look at a definite date. Sometimes these dates are not to be concluded as definite. Sometimes they're flexible. Times change with the situation, and the Father has what we call a flexible prophetic timeline within His timeline, not ours. So today, we've done told you, in relationship to the days, that a day is possibly a 1 year event in some cases, not always. There is exceptions to this rule, but as a general rule, one day equals a year, and in this case, it will be 2,300 years into the future from Daniel's time period of reckoning time. Well, in 8:14, listen to it. The answer is there. And he said unto me, until 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, everybody thinks in the world of the Christian faith, it has become accepted that the time is going to come in the near future that the Jews are going to rebuild the temple, and they're going to start sacrificing animals again from the time that they left off. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you really look at the temple and its relationship to the time that Christ was there, he didn't take too kindly to that place down in Jerusalem. It seems like that there was things that he had against that particular building, and he didn't exactly treat it like it was the temple of Yahweh. If you notice in the book of Kings, when Solomon built and erected the original temple given to him by his father, and he followed the plans very careful that David had laid up. David received these through the prophets by Yahweh himself directing the measurements and we covered in detail last Sunday night on part two of the two olive tree stands and the doors, these 10-foot doors representing the two houses. 10 is perfect one. Reduce 10 to take away the zero, and you got one. And there's one God. Although these two doors, the same God serves the two doors, and the two doors, the two houses, have a separate yet identical mission to accomplish. You see, the determination, and he said, how long shall a vision be concerning the day to sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That seems like that the new temple, most people would think, that the new temple would be authorized by God for another temple to be built. But let's go into the New Testament and get the ideal of the apostolic fathers and their relationship to the temple. Remember that they were excluded, not included, from that temple in Jerusalem. They wouldn't go in it. They wouldn't worship there. Matter of fact, they were wanted, just like Christ, who the warrant for his arrest was actually issued from the high priest office of the Sanhedrin court located within the temple where they did the legal functioning to govern in a theocratical setting, or as it seems. But remember I told you that 10-foot veil that hid the Ark of the Covenant, or at least where the Ark of the Covenant should have been, this precious relic. Without that, there could be no animal sacrifice because the blood must be poured upon the Ark of the Covenant to sanctify and to symbolize the perfection of Israel. But the Bible says God does not. We're talking about the last day, the new covenant, that Almighty Yahweh does not dwell in temple or temples. In this case, we could include the Mormon temple and tabernacle choir that meets regularly up in Salt Lake City in a Glendore, a very extravagant setting of framework. And neither would our Heavenly Father visit Rome and the Vatican and the Church of Rome, or the many cathedrals, the stained glass cathedrals, or the clear glass, in this case out in California, with the famous preachers around the country, and maybe ORU, the famous tower of prayer, and these things that man looked to, they're awesome. And they're beautiful. They're adorned and ornamented just to draw the attention and the affection of those who would like to be members. You know, it's just like if you build a better mousetrap, the world will beat a trap or beat a path to the trap. And that's exactly what these buildings of mortar and brick and stone and ornaments of Glendor glory looks good in the flesh, has a show of Glendor and praise in the flesh. Nobody wants to go to a broken down. You know, when I started in the ministry 50 years ago, this month, in the month of March, I was worshiping in a little house in the state of Virginia, just across the state line near where I live. I started out in a little Pentecostal church with about 8 or 10 members, and we gathered there faithfully twice a week, and we would have services that would go into the early hours of the morning, shouting and praising and hanging on the rafters and swinging and praising Jesus. Glory to God. Shungai and all those good things. Having a great time. But ladies and gentlemen, long after the shouting ceases, truth has to begin somewhere. Be still and know that I am, saith the I am, John 8:24. Now, if you use the manuscript word, it uses the word days in 8:13 and 8:14. The word translated days is actually two words, and unique ones at that. Literally, the translation is 2300 evening and mornings. The manuscripts use these words, evening and morning, translated into days, but it says evenings and mornings. If you look up the Strong's number is 61-53, which is Erev, evening and night, or sunset. Evening, sunset, or night. If you look up Strong's number 1242, the Gur, morning, the break of day, morning, used of the end of the night, and used of coming of daylight. So when the translators saw these two words, they didn't say 2300 evening and mornings. They just said 2300 days plural. And so, in a sense, this is somewhat deceptive because it has to have an evening and morning. Now, if you look later on in the same chapter, they correctly translated in Daniel 8:26, notice this, and the vision of the evening and the morning, there it is, which was told is true, therefore shut up the vision, for it shall be for many days. So they got it right in that one place with the mistranslation in the other. Now, let's examine the meaning of the number 2300. I want to look at it and I take my time to give you some understanding, but I've got to hurry and ride a fast horse if I intend to get through this in about 55 minutes, which is my allotted time. Well, an evening and morning is a day, right? To them, it may be, but to God, it isn't. Now, remember that it's very plain in Genesis chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit separates the evening and the morning and makes a special statement to combine them into a day. The Holy Spirit does not do this just to take up space in explaining something that should be obvious. Compare the word used for day in many other places in the book of Daniel, and you'll see what I'm telling you is true. Now, Strong's number 3117, Yom, YWM, is a day, a time, a year. A day as opposed to night. A day, 24-hour period, as defined by evening and morning in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 as a division of time. Strong's number 3117 is a working day, a day's journey, days, lifetime, plural, time, general, year, temporal reference, today, yesterday, or tomorrow. Now, that means that the Strong's number 3117 is indicating a longer space of time than 2300 days. So we convert it to a year, and most people know in prophetic utterances that's what. But I wanted to explain to you and give you the Strong's number to indicate what we're talking about. Now, in Exodus 29, verse 39, to prove this point, and one lamb shall be offered in the morning, and the other lamb shall offer at evening. Now, when I told you that the Sanhedrin court issued an arrest warrant for the Messiah, when he died, he tore down or split the veil from top to bottom to expose the bare furniture in the holiest of holies. There was no ark there. Just like God does not dwell in a temple today made by hands. So then, most people are waiting for a building to be built or a sanctuary to be cleansed according to some of these prophecies, where they misapply their understanding to formulate a carnal building to be prophetic uttered at the end of the 2300 days. But what did God say? I will raise up a tabernacle in those days. What tabernacle did he raise? Well, he tore one down and raised another. He tore down the physical temple. This happened in the 70 AD when he warned them it would be brought down, the place that they determined was a holy worship center. And that was torn down in 70 AD. And some people take the prophecy from there, then they apply a time period into the future from the point of 70 AD to try to connect or correlate a time when the end time temple is going to be built. Ladies and gentlemen, again, the apostolic fathers never did prophesy, teach, or preach about a literal physical temple that would be met. Now, that's not saying that there won't be one, because as the mass population thinketh, they can think these things into existence by popular demand. So when enough dedicated people are dedicated to the restoration of a physical temple, they will, and I have prophesied this, they will build one, but it won't be God's temple. It won't be cleansed. It'll be just as dirty or probably more filthy than the ones that are around the earth that I just got through mentioning. And certainly it will be equal to or above or beyond the filthiness of the temple that issued a warrant for his death. Ladies and gentlemen, you better come up to speed and get on the right road with your understanding. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And in that day, the Bible says that when Satan, not Yahweh, not the Messiah, as the Christian world would say, Jesus is going to come back and sit in the temple. Well, that ain't what the Bible says, unless Jesus is Satan. Oh, well, maybe we've got a point here. That Satan will, in the personage of a Messiah that has long been popularized through the Greek-Roman formation of a name that they live by, but they're dead. So we can conclude that the 2300 days really is 2300 evenings and mornings. Now let me give you something here that would make you think. Well, the Bible speaks, and we're going to look at that in part two tonight, of the 1260 days that I mentioned in part two of our Revelation of the Two Witnesses. It's mentioned several times, and we'll get into the points where that they are mentioned. Well, if you multiply 2300, or if you subtract 1260 days from 2300, then we'll come up with an interesting figure that you might perhaps want to look at. Let's say this, that 2,300 daily sacrifices, for the daily sacrifice is the subject of the explanation in Daniel 8:13, equals two sacrifices per day. Thus, this 2,300 takes the time of what we would call 1,150 days. Now, in other words, that's dividing it by half. How does this fit in? Well, let's take a look at, it's very obvious that there is only one arrival of both Satan, the de facto, and sometime later, the true Messiah. Now, that's what I want to get you to see, that some of these things are just written in here to confuse or send a strong delusion to them that are lost. You see, Almighty Yahweh is the one that sends the strong illusion and the strong delusion. So an illusion would be what a mind could see, hear, taste, touch, or feel, the physical realm of Satan building great buildings, and surely God is in this place, they would say. You know when Solomon built the original temple and invited Yahweh to come down, and the Bible said Yahweh came down. Did you know that every man that was sitting, woman and child, whoever was in the temple on this magnificent day, that Solomon invited the Shekinah, or Yahweh, to come down and take his position over the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible said that not a man, woman, or child could stand or stay within the glorious temple that Solomon had built. Everybody got chased out. And the Bible describes it as a burning furnace or a smoke. Pastor Buddy, why did God give them all the dimensional sizes and the shapes? And it was all for symbolic reckoning. And I've gone into that in part one and two of the two witnesses of the 1260-day prophecy times two to get a time and a dividing of time. And we're going more into that. It might take me 2-3 more messages to get it across, but I intend to cover it to the point that you would be satisfied to know that God don't dwell in a physical temple and never did. Never did. Never did. You say, well, how is it then that he was in the temple of the old covenant? Well, that's one of the witnesses. Remember, the witness of the old covenant was in agreement with a new witness that God does not dwell in a temple, and he proved it there, made by him. He proved it when he came down and nobody was able to stay in the temple. Now, that was for a divine covenant example and reckoning, that no one could stand in the presence of a confined building and contain our Creator. Solomon admitted after he went out, said, can you see the king sitting there in his glory and his pomp and his style as the architect of this great, magnificent building? Can you see the dignitaries gathered around for this glorious, great event for the capturing? In other words, the Israeli press was there, if they had any press, and you know they did. The couriers were there to carry the message throughout all the provinces and all of the nations of Israel, that this was covered by the media, and that this spirit that came down drove everybody out of the building. Can you see the king running outside, gasping for breath, humiliated that he wasn't able to sit in the temple that he had built, thinking that he could contain or he could build a place of habitation for the mighty Yah? Well, he said himself, after he got caught, you know, if he'd have known that this was going to happen. And these things happen for an example, and the old covenant is one of the witnesses. The two witnesses is, one is the old parchment, the Bible said a schoolmaster, and the New Testament is the other witness, and these are the two witnesses that represent the two houses as the two candlesticks or the two olive branches or the two olive doors into the kingdom. Oh my, I get real excited and intense when I think about these marvelous symbology that the Father has directed to our attention. Every piece of furniture, every measurement was for a specific reasoning of opening up your understanding to know that God does not dwell in a temple made by hands. Oh my. Aren't you glad, poor people, since I can't attend some of the glorious, marvelous. I had a sister one time that spent $7,000 to fly to Rome, Italy. She was a Catholic, and that's not to say that everybody does this are Catholic, because people renowned the world over, dignitaries, heads of state, and everything else, have visited this place, and it was an honor. Oh, it was beautiful. The chapel where Michelangelo did his famous painting, she described that in detail. She went into exquisite language concoctions to tell me how that this was so marvelous and so wonderful, and this is the temple where Peter had sat, and Peter had given them the dimensional aspects of building a temple. Peter did not do that. Peter knew better. Paul knew better. James knew better. John knew better. All of the patriarchs knew better. Solomon knew better. No longer did he expect God to come down and sit in that temple. He had a relic of furniture there known as the Ark and the Mercy Seat, where he met once a year. He only come down once a year, and nobody else. Showing you that the priesthood was a future event that the Levitical covenant could not redeem or cleanse sin, and for once every year, the high priest, with his perfection, that's why they tied a cord to his feet. Nobody else was allowed behind the veil. Nobody dared to go back there. Nobody dared to travel behind the curtain except the high priest, and he had to worry about his own life. Because if Almighty God was not pleased with Israel in that year, that priest was a dead priest. God would kill it. Well, under the Levitical covenant, they that broke the law of mercy or the law of Moses died without mercy. So that priest, oh my, can you think about being chosen as a high priest? Well, in the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees thought it much of an honor to be sitting in the chair of the high priest. You know why? Because they didn't have no fear of going behind the curtain. They wouldn't have there to kill them. There was no power in that temple to bring judgment upon the house of Israel. The ikibod, meaning the glory of God, had departed when God split the two houses and drove each one to their final destination and exported and sent them into all the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, our Father had a plan. Now, let's take a look at this. Let's think just a minute now that it's obvious that Satan and the Messiah will clash in the final days of the time period allotted for the dispensation or the restitution of all things. Now, let's say that we have heard that Satan and his crew has a five-month period, as it's written in Revelations chapter 9. Now, to do their deed, we have often said that this is 150 days. But is it? If we look at the word used there in Revelation 9, we find out that it also means moon, not just a month. So then a moon is 30 days, and thus five moons equals 150 days. Well, not at all. Some of our months have 31 days. Fortunately, the moon keeps pretty good time for a short period, like 5 cycles. We can find from any encyclopedia that the time taken for the moon to go through one complete cycle varies from 27 days to a few hours past 29, and a few hours depending on a particular cycle of interest, and also the time of the year, thus an average for a moon calendar is 28 days or thereabout. Now, did Yahweh use a lunar moon calendar? Of course he did. And so then, the reckoning of time, this is how man figures time, because, see, man has changed the times and laws of Yahweh's reckoning into their own, just like Solomon reckoned that he could build a temple and God would come down and park there. And Solomon could get all the glory. Can you see this man shamed? And he's like smoke. The Bible says a fiery furnace, a smoke. Fill the house of God, a smoke. Well, you know, smoke is, you know, that's why we got smoke detectors. You can smell smoke. There's some fire somewhere. Well, ain't that what our Creator is? He's a consuming fire. And if Moses couldn't look on him without dying, I mean, if he had to wear a veil, but just seeing his hinder parts for the rest of his life after he saw his hinder parts, he had to wear a veil because his face shone like the sun. Think about those that would have come face to face with the eternal fire, where in Thessalonians chapter, or 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, it says that Yahweh dwells in a light that no man can approach him to. So if Yahweh would have come down in his pure glory and the light of the eternal fire of the Godhead, Solomon and everyone in there would have been consumed, although they were pride and pomp and fleshly and worthy of honor of us, as far as man goes. But you see, it's not that those that wear long robes and stay in stained glass churches and build great cathedrals and temples that gather the masses of the unsuspecting deceived ones. Did you know that you can find our Creator in a cave? Here in the hills of Tennessee, I worshiped. My first years of my ministry was worshiped in seeking the Father in a cave. Well, I didn't really realize it at the time that that's where Elijah found him, in a cave, not in a stained glass, glorious, magnificent temple. That's not to say you can't find him there. But if you find him there, you're going to come out of her, my people, and you ain't going to participate in the glamour and the things that the church world, for a show of the flesh, has demonstrated in the world to seem right. So then, an average day is 28 days in the lunar calendar. The moon yielding a period of 5 times 28 is 140 days. Another interesting thought is that the difference between 150 days and 140 days is 10 days. Now, refer to the chart at the end of the book of Daniel, chapter 12, and you can see that there is a 10-day overlap when both Satan and his locust army are up on the earth. Now, the locust means that they'll devour unsuspecting souls. Then the clash between the coming Messiah, who's coming back in flame and fire, to destroy this God that the church world has established and built him a temple just like Solomon. And in this case, Satan will sit there in an embodiment of flesh, showing himself that he is God. And this is why I want to get this across to you. Ladies and gentlemen, when it happens, and Pastor Buddy may be off the scene, hopefully I am, the righteous are taken for the wrath to come. Not to say that the righteous are going to be taken out in the rapture, as the church world is saying, and the tribulation. The church is what goes through the ecclesia, the ones that are purposed with the fullness of the Godhead embodied in their own temples, not a single temple where we all go together up and have. You know, I watch some of this church antics going on, and it is a joke. Sounds good, looks good, tastes good, feels good, and smells good. Oh, their face shine. Oh, their diamonds sparkle. You know, even today we've accepted a woman to put on enough makeup to paint a barn. Got enough earrings and jewelry hanging in her ears to split the earlobe. Preachers with their fancy down suits and their golden Rolex watches. Their Learjets sitting outside their airports, personal charter planes to fly them from country to country and across sea to shining sea to compass land and sea to make one proselyte, to make them true for more than a child of hell because they didn't give them any revelation of truth. Most of the messages is pay and pray. Come on down and sign the book. Join our wonderful assembly. We got the biggest church in town. Oh, what honor, what prestige to sit in these glorious temples that the Satan has made and Satan adores, because he himself will sit in the temple showing himself that he is God and would deceive the very elect. As the Greek word for month is Strong's number 3376, which has the Strong's definition of month. However, the lexicon of the Greek has two definitions. There again, we have it too. Strong's 3376 is month, or the time of the moon. The first day of the month was a festival, or time recognition. You see, the Gregorian calendar don't do that. So with getting on a Gregorian calendar, no wonder the Babylonian ideals of prophecy is all screwed up in their mind. Their mind thinking that they got the time figured out, when the Bible says that a smart man, advanced thinking man, will change times and laws and would deceive the very elect. So if you get the time of the moon, the first day of the month, then if the 5 months is 5 moons of 28 days, then 150 times 28 equals 140 days, and there you go. You've got that 10-day. Remember he said, be patient in your tribulation for 10 days? That's what he's talking about there. Ladies and gentlemen, if you know the consequences of 10 reduced to 1, which is the 10 aspect of the two doors, the opening into not the flesh temple or the stone temple, but into the flesh temple where enters, where dwells the Shekinah, the spirit, the Ruach of the Hebrew, in a temple only divined and made an offspring from. And I would like to say that one more time, because I need to emphasize that that temple, made without hands, designed by the Creator, made in His image, and you are the offspring of the divine bloodline of God. You're not from the bloodline of Adam. Adam himself was not from the bloodline of Adam. When you hear that you are born of the blood of Adam, you got another thing coming. You need to read Revelations 22 and see exactly what the prophetic utterance of David's prophecy when he prophesied, and when the Messiah himself acknowledged that he was the root of David. Therefore, we're not born of the blood of man or the will of man, but by the will of Yahweh. Oh, I'd love to get on that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a time of trouble. Now, you see that? 5 months of 28 days is 140 days. Now, if you add the 1,150 days, When the daily sacrifices are not allowed to the 140, guess what you have? You have the 1290 days. Now, does that ring a bell? Well, it should. You'll find it in Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Guess what else? This word day is the Hebrew number of 3117. A day, a plain old 24-hour day in this case. Now, Strong's 3117, nom, or day, time of year. A day as opposed to night. A day or a 24-hour period is defined by evening and morning in Genesis 1 and 2 as a division of time, which is a working day, a day's journey, or day's lifetime, plural, time, period, general, as it's noted right here in the Strong's that I'm giving to you in 3117. So is that interesting or what? Look for 7 years of tribulation. But how do they reconcile that belief with the words of the Messiah in Mark 13:20 and Matthew 24:22? Listen to what he said. He specifically said that he would shorten the days as prophetic as he told Daniel. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Therefore, Daniel, shut up your vision, for it shall be many days according to the reckoning of the King James. Now, listen to this. The vision is many days in arriving at a future date, as he told Daniel. But as he told us in the New Testament, that he would shorten the time of the vision's duration for the elect, but not for the world. Now, how could that be? Well, for the world, they will be completely happy eating and drinking and being merry. Since the Father will be there, that's the one sitting in the temple. Now, remember, we're talking about two different fathers here, and this is what I'm trying to get you to see. But the time of testing does not start until Satan arrives. And we've been told that many times and warned that when he comes, he's going to wear out the saints. Well, he's already doing that in a psychological warfare. You see, the saints are underground. That's the way the Father hid us. The earth hath the woman, opened its mouth and swallowed the flood. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, there's so much. In the 11th verse of the 12th chapter of Daniel, from the time that the daily sacrifice, now listen to this now, here it is, I'm fixing to give you the key. From the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1290 days. Now, that's exactly 30 days longer than the 1260. Now, let's take a look at the reason why. 1,200 and not 60 days, which is what people get hung up on, but 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335th day. Now, let me give you something about that. Now, we read here in Daniel 12, verse 11 and 12 and 12, specifically says that Satan has only 44 days, if you do your deduction. Now, if we let it sink in, from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away until the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, I didn't make that word up until. It's in there. It's not simply and in the Hebrew word. It is and is, which is the Strong's number 5414, Metha, primitive root, to give with greatest latitude of application is to put or to make. Now, if you apply and appoint, ascribe, and assign, which is what it means in the King James, then what you're going to do is come up with something like this. When Satan comes down, according to this primitive root in the language, he's going to come down and occupy. He's going to offer. He's going to ordain. He's going to pay. He's going to perform. He's going to pour out. He's going to print. He's going to recompense. He's going to render. He's going to restore. He's going to set forth. He's going to show himself in the temple. He's going to slander and strike and suffer those without. Surely he's going to take, he's going to thrust, he's going to trade, he's going to turn, utter, weep, womanly, withdraw. All these words are associated with the Strong's number 5414 as the purpose of Satan coming to wear out the saints located in Daniel chapter 12. It's coming. But don't look for that great being. Satan is a transfigured angel, even showing himself as an angel of light. I'm telling you, if the Pope can sit in Rome in his big temple and get the honor and the accolades around the world of every government head of state that will declare diplomatic relations with the Vatican, not to say that that's wrong, that's just the way the world of Babylon operates. But the least in the kingdom is greater than the Pope. Yet the Pope is exalted to the head above all. Men of Brother in Illinois, we talked a lot about this, and man, you talk about somebody that really knows something about the Vatican and the underground network as opposed to the truth seekers. This powerful unit upon the earth has so much power that when they speak, seven thunders utter the voice in response to the will of they that speak. They run the world, ladies and gentlemen. It's plain and simple. The Christian world is headquartered and is run out of the seven mountain estate of the establishment of Rome. This is the great horde that sits on the earth that is full of fornication with the kings of the earth. She's courting the kings of the earth to get the prestige and the honor and the glory. And when Satan comes, I prophesied that a great earthquake is going to cause Italy the little boot. You'll see this with the formation of the European beast that will become the dominant world power in the last days. And you see the formation of the euro already establishing itself as the money piece of the world. This unification of the United Europe is something that you better consider. And you need to realize that this desolation is as the Moffat and the Pharaoh Fenton states, who the desolator is. Desolation. Now you should understand it's Satan himself. I've done told you that. The Bible tells you that. The new parchment, the final witness. And you know, the 3.5 years, one half of the seven, which is 1,260 days, we're doing some math here, ladies and gentlemen. And you need to understand. You should understand by now, it's Satan. Praise God. And it's said in Daniel 12:12, look at that. There is only 45 days more until we receive our blessed one on the first day of the seventh millennial establishment of time, when he comes back to put down all rule and authority. And the Bible says that his coming, the brightness of his coming, he's coming back to make war with Satan, who is on the earth with the people of the earth in his grasp, taken by his charisma, his magnetism, his power, his glory, his pomp. Ladies and gentlemen, you just have no idea how marvelous this second in command from the planet heaven. Satan walked among the stones of fire. He was the most beautiful. He was more handsome than Yahweh. Yahweh was the tree in the garden that nobody wanted. Everybody wanted a piece of Satan, and Eve got her part. By doing so, Satan became the god of this world. Yahweh became the god of the end world. Now you got to figure out who you're going to serve. Do you serve the pomp and the ceremony and the glitz and the glitter and the glamour Well, that's what the world does, because the carnal mind is not subject. It is subject to Satan. So anytime you're in the carnal mind, you can't please God, because the carnal mind is enmity against him. And the only way you're going to get this message is see these things come to pass, because evidently you're not going to listen to Pastor Buddy tonight. You're not going to call me up and say, Pastor Buddy, what a wonderful message. I see the truth. I see the spirit. I see the time coming when Satan is going to appear in the temple. He's already in the temples of man. These temples of man are already full of his shenanigans. They're stupidity, spiritually speaking, but in the world, they're smart. Well, they build great buildings. They put on the glitz and the glitter and they roll out the red carpet for the carnal mind. And the carnal, it's a seamright way. Glory to God. Can you see this tonight? I see it very plainly. I hope that I'm getting it, because you're going to have to excuse my intensity. I'm really far up here. Now, let's take the 2,300 days and the 1,290 days, and these are figures that are in the Bible. I didn't give them to you. Now, after we do that, subtracting 1,290 days from 2,300, like we did for 1,260, we come to different figures. You're left with a strange number, 1,335 days. In Daniel 12:12, we're told that it is 45 days before our really joy, when we see him coming, we're going to rejoice. The world's going to mourn and groan, because Yahweh's coming back to destroy Satan, who is destroying the earth. And the Bible said let me get this to you now. I got to emphasize it. Man, my time has just blowed out of here. I ain't even one third done here. Ladies and gentlemen, I might have to continue this, because my time has already come and already gone. Satan is going to deceive the very elect in the last days. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that many of the white, the pure, the righteous, will be deceived and will turn against their brothers in that day, turncoats. I tell you what, there's nothing more despicable and abominable to see a man sell his soul for a piece of bread, as did Esau, just to get along with the world. Now, you know, it'd be far better for you to take your medicine and have your head taken off or suffer the consequences than to take the mark. The Bible said every man, woman, and child whose names are not in the Lamb's book will take the mark. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry that I did not get done tonight. I had a hope that I'd cover it, but I just can't do that. I'm going to have to wait. And if the Spirit is willing, to continue this next Sunday night. So maybe part four, if the Spirit will let me now. It may take me away from here. It's done this before, so I won't make any promises. But if you'd like to hear part four of the series of the two witnesses, maybe I can finish up in another hour, but I need to get these. I'm down here to the 1,335th day. It's mentioned in the Bible. Blessed is he that cometh for that time. That's what it's talking about. I'll explain it if I can in detail. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to The Shepherd's Call. I'm Pastor Buddy. I've been your host tonight, and I've enjoyed immensely. My heart stirred. I feel the Shekinah. I feel the love and the joy unspeakable and the full of glory. I know in whom I have committed my trust and my faith. I pray that I will be found worthy to stand in the day of judgment, to hear and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful of a few things. I'm going to certainly make you ruler over me. You've kept the faith, and you haven't denied my name. You didn't go with a popular name. You went with a name that was rejected. You went with a name that was hated. You went with a name that was cast out. Therefore, you've suffered for me, and you haven't been ashamed for my name. I'll make you rulers over many. That's what I want to hear. Call me tonight. I'm live on the 19th day of the month of March, the year 2006. This is Pastor Buddy on the Jewel Transmitter of the South, CR5070. If you'd like to call me, area code 423 626 2172. I look forward to talking to you tonight. If I can get the time and the phones are not jammed, well, give us a call. If you're busy, keep trying. We'll get you. If not, leave a message in voicemail. I'll call you on my nickel. That's how much I love you. Well, my mailing address is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell. That's N-E-W-T, as in tiger, A, as in alpha, Z, as in, well, from A to Z, Alpha and Omega. T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, right here in the beautiful mountains of Tennessee. Well, the zip is 37824. At area code 423-626-2172. And if you could send us a love offering, many of you do support the pastor. And I really, it keeps my hands held up, and I don't have to put my nose to the grindstone and go out here and hammer my fingers into a board like I used to have to do and run them into saws and things trying to eke out a living here to support my family. I live by the tithes and offerings of the people. I'm fully 100% a faith minister. I live strictly by the will and the grace and the love and the mercy of the Creator. I fear Him. I work for Him. I know I've got a short time to get it done. I'm 70 years old, and it's time for me to step off the scene very soon by nature. By the grace of Father, if I'm extended a few more years of grace and mercy, I want to spend that time wisely and tell you about our divine Creator and His plan. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I got to get out of here because my time has come and gone. I'll see you next Sunday night at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock on the Eastern Standard Time Belt. And ladies and gentlemen, may the blessings of Yahweh bless you. May He keep you in all that you do. I'll see you. Yahweh bless you.